What's going on, everyone? How are we doing? Welcome back to the channel. Today, I am joined with the CEO of DarwinX, Juan. Juan, how are we doing, dude?
Pretty good. Happy to be here, man.
Would you want to just give us a brief sort of introduction to DarwinX?
So DarwinX is a solution designed by my brother for the likes of my brother. My brother was an independent trader back in 2010 when we started, and he was seeking to raise investor capital. He faced what I call the wall, which is the regulation, pitching to investors, all that goes with that. And he didn't find alternatives back at the time that solved his issue, which was to try and charge for the success he produced for investors. And thus was born DarwinX. So we've been going for 12 years now. In the meantime, we're regulated as an asset manager by the FCA and the CNMV in Spain. We also own a broker, because that's one of the ways that people can use our service. And yeah, our top guy is now clocking up $1 million on a good year. So we're kind of delivering on the mission, finally. It's been a long journey, but you know, we're here.
No, incredible. It's something that honestly, I wish I'd come across a lot sooner, to be honest. What kind of emphasis would you put on the importance of DarwinX and what it can facilitate for the end user, such as the traders?
Okay, so first thing I have to say, DarwinX is not for everybody. It's it takes years for one to grow as a trader, and one has to prove a track record to basically convince investors at that time. So the way I would summarize DarwinX is where you grow as a pro. You don't necessarily have to start as a pro, but you have to. You can't be, but you have to think of that mindset. And if you are that kind of guy, then I think we are the one place where you can start from zero and go all the way to. Yeah, 33 million, which is what top guy is managing right now, and see where you are at all times, because you can certify your track record as you go. You can benchmark your progress because you're seeing all the others on a level playing field. You've got toolkit to optimize your strategy because we look at you from the eyes of the investors that we hopefully will bring to you and when you're ready. And then we also have a sponsorship program, which many people confuse with a prop that whereby our asset manager pays part of the fees that it makes from the superstars to incentivize tomorrow's superstars to behave like pros from day one.
Where you grow as a pro, I really like that. It's catchy. Yeah. I like that. And I think that's a testament to what you are building with DarwinX, because you are facilitating the realities of the professional world of trading. You know, we are in an industry where, of course, you know, like you say, prop firms, they are great, but they have kind of misled a little people in terms of the 80% split, right? Mm-hmm. And I know one question I got asked quite a lot was, oh, you know, you get 15% split, but that's the reality in the professional world, right? Yeah. When people say that to you in terms of, you know, it's only a 15% split, and they perhaps moan, would you, when you said earlier, you know, it's not for everyone, is that what you mean in terms of it's not for you?
Okay, we get that a lot. So I'll answer with the example of the best trader in the platform. Okay, this guy's posted about 20% compound over the last 8 years. So if investors, outside investors, which is what we get, because we're not investing our own capital, if outside investors paid this guy, so the way they pay is they pay him 20% for the upside, but they get nothing back for the downside. So, and this guy's the best out of 35,000 who've been through the platform, and he's making $1 million now. So, you know, it is something that investors want. Okay, so would you invest in something which, when it goes well, it pays you 20% times 20%, it pays you 4%, which is less than you can put in a T-bill. But when he's got a 16% drawdown, which he's had, then you lose 16%? Would you? No, okay. So, and that's when the whole story with this MFF comes around, in that, you know, it's impossible to us as an investor to make money from a trader if you pay him 80-85% profit split. It's just impossible, okay? So, and what that then means is that, mind you, I think the prop firms, by the way, there are good things, they've been around for years. And there are, and I know people who are kind of wealthy ex-traders and individuals who want to back traders. And of course, they'll want to test these people, but they don't charge them to get tested, right? And if you put two and two together, and we've seen this with MFF, is that it creates a perverse set of incentives, because the people who actually end up making money, seen by themselves, are loss leaders, okay? Because they... If the best guy, DarwinX, let's say they make like 20-30% per year, which is very, very, very hard to do in the long run, there'll be a lot of guys whom you're paying 80% who will just lose money. So you'll never make back from the losers what you've lost with the winners in that sense. And that creates a very perverse set of incentives because, you know, at some point, especially also when people are trading on price feeds, which are not necessarily tradable price feeds, then you get a setup which is vulnerable to very smart cookies who arbitrage the feed, start making money on a fake feed because it is possible to make money on a fake feed, and then eventually they graduate onto live, and this is where all these rules come in that you can't trade here, you can't trade there, you can't do this, you can't do that, because the perverse incentive there is that you're providing a fake price feed that people can make money on, but when you then, these winners, you want to then hedge out the risk against the market that they end up making money, then you can't because the price on the real market is different. So yeah, this is kind of complicated to explain, but I would leave it at that in the sense that it is impossible for someone to pay long-term 80% for the winners. So sooner or later, there's got to be a catch somewhere.
Yeah, no, and I completely get that. And that's something that I, you know, I'm very aware of myself. And I've always said, you know, the professional route is the route that I want to go down and, you know, attracting investors. And I understand that an investor's not going to say to me, I will give you 80%, you're doing all the work, because at the same time, they're fronting the capital that I don't have to trade, right? So you are obviously bringing that to the table. Just touching briefly on the guy who is doing the million a year, just really curious for me. I think I've seen the statistics anyway, but for anyone that hasn't, what kind of percentages does he average in a monthly basis? Because a lot of the percentages in this industry now are like, you know, you've got to make 10% a month or you're a shit trader.
Yeah.
He's not doing that, right? As far as I'm aware.
So I think it'd be like plus minus 3% on any given month and compound about 20. But one thing I'd like to come back on the props, like, don't get me wrong, I think they are a great thing. And if you're a great trader, you can make a boatload of money with it. So by all means, trade prop, but the issue you've got there is that, of course, if whenever you lose the allocation, you lose the track record, and then you could be doing this for years and you don't have something to prove. Whereas in the meantime, you could, on top of making whatever you've got for the prop, I mean, basically in our setup, you can just literally copy the trades across to either a virtual account or a live account, and you'll still have the track record. So it's not Darwin X or a prop. It's, you know, it's actually priced at 38 euros a month so that you can do Darwin X and a prop.
I wouldn't be in the position I'm in without the props. They've helped me a lot.
Yeah.
However, I do agree. I think diversification, it's something I've spoken about massively on the channel in general. Never have all your eggs in one basket, right? Have multiple boxes. Darwin X is that other solution where you can just have another box. You can be building and accruing over the long term.
Yeah.
But in return, you get a track record. You also can get allocations and you can get put to investors, which for me is incredible because, like you say, you can have the skill, but then maybe people can't find the investors or they haven't got the verified record. And you guys are facilitating for that, which is huge, man.
And there's one point, it costs nothing.
Yeah.
Well, once you post 1,000 euros into a live account to make money on your own money, then the whole thing is free. So we've basically designed this to make it a no-brainer. So by all means, do your prop stuff. Make sure you don't get caught out if somebody shuts it down, or if they go. I mean, you know, they've learned the game now. So, but we are here. We've been here for the last 10 years. We're regulated by the FCA and the CNMV, and we want long-term track records. We actually incentivize those, and it doesn't cost anything the moment you trade your own capital.
I know it's a long game for people to build the record. Something people expressed to me in the past was, is there a point where, and again, this is probably devil's advocate, let's say you get an abundance of good traders that all get track records, would you struggle to get them investment due to the volume of good traders that came through?
One has to remember that Darwin X is where traders grow as pros, but Darwin X itself is a growing proposition. So we've grown assets under management about 100% over the last year. And the issue we've got is that the best strategies deliver very good returns above what the kind of institutionals achieve because they're trading on limited capacity, meaning the strategies can take 5 million, 10 million, you can make 20, 30% on them, but the minute you go above that, you'll actually struggle with slippage in the market and so on. So there is a finite capacity. And but yeah, it's kind of a legitimate point. From our standpoint, we're here to raise the capital for the traders, but if we fail at raising that capital, we, you know, they'll still have the track record, and if they've done well, you know, it would be our loss, but then they can always go to the city and just say, look, you know, I've been proving what I'm capable of. This, you know, this is kind of my job interview. So I'm very confident that we can deliver on that. We've grown over 100% in the last year. And to be honest, the reason we're launching Zero is because the hard thing is not to get the investors. Once you've got investor credibility, and this is key, the harder thing is to actually get the good traders. So we've seen when the performance is there, the AUM rain. The moment the performance stalls, that's when the kind of the thing dries. But the hard thing is that once you've built, you know, for us, it's been a 10-year journey because we had to get FCA regulated. We had to build the risk management algos to make sure that the guys didn't blow up on us. And then we had what I call the huge chicken and egg thing, which has cost me like literally 5 years of my life and a lot of my hair, which is you build this trader investor exchange and you have no investors because the first two is you've got a shit. And you've got shit traders because there's no investors, right? And then it's kind of a massive act to get going. But once you build that credibility and people see that they don't blow up like they would with kind of these so-called copy trading sites, or that you've been around for 10 years and you're regulated and you just, you know, will not be shut down overnight, then there's a lot of people watching who appreciate there's been hundreds of thousands of people, potentially even millions, I guess, who have graduated through the ranks of these props. And they've basically been subjected to kind of what is essentially a near impossible test. And some people actually pass that, okay? So I don't think you're gonna get the next generation of good asset managers by interviewing posh guys from Eton 20 years from now. I really hope that people who are watching this thing and say, hey, you know, I wanna grow as a pro, I'm gonna start today. I appreciate it's gonna take time, but you know, I've got that time because I wanna be a trader for life. And I think the world will, you know, awaken to the fact that we're now sitting in a studio which you can rent to do a fantastic podcast on thing. You don't have to go to bloody BBC and do an interview to get there. Same thing goes for so many professions. And the thing is with traders, it's just kind of happening. It's just that there's so many barriers to entry in terms of regulation and credibility and restrictions that it's taking a bit longer. But we want to be where traders grow as pros, and that will actually lead to investors saying, you know, if I'm looking for trading pros, I'll just go to the Darwinex. And that's the... Because our mantra is that I think why we're aligned with both traders and investors is that the more good traders we've got, the easier it gets for us to get investors. And the more investors we've got, the easier it is to attract good traders. And the bigger the incentive, which is the most important thing for people to say, it's worth going for the long run. I mean, this time 2 years ago, the top guy had 4 million.
Okay.
Right? And he's got like 35. So
it's a big growth.
You know, who is to say where he'll be in a couple of years' time? And he just won the award for best hedge fund performance in the last 5 years. So there's lots of eyeballs looking at this guy now. This guy's on Darwinex. So therefore the eyeballs will be, okay, you know, this is an interesting concept. It's just a much better way to invest also, but it takes time to build the trust.
Of course. The risk engine.
Yeah.
I know you probably can't go into too much of what it essentially does, but in a brief for people at home, because a lot of people that have joined have asking me questions about it and I perhaps don't know enough about it. What does it look at of a trader? Like, what does it kind of assess? And is there a reason why it's such a long period? Is that to get a larger sample size of data?
Okay. Yeah, we get this a lot. And it's the one thing that kind of makes Darwinex harder to understand, okay? But first, I'll start why that exists. There's a number of reasons, but from the standpoint of the trader, it exists to level the playing field, okay? Because everybody's competing for investor capital. It's not like it's not a zero-sum game, because the better everybody does, the more investor capital there is. But ultimately, yes, they are also competing for the asset management. And if we allowed everybody to trade with different risks, then there would be a strong incentive to over-lever and risk so much, it would create distort the playing field. So you'd basically go, you know, I'm trading with the brain and this guy's kind of going crazy. He will blow up in 3 months, no question about it. But then there'll be another guy who will have traded for 3 months, just got lucky and so on. And this is actually what happened to my brother back in the day. So, and you'd be like, what the fuck? You know, this is not where I grow as a pro. This is where I get kind of scammed as a pro, because somebody is kind of being paid for not doing something which is not sustainable. Okay, so it levels the playing field. Now, of course, this thing with equalizing risk across strategies, you might have one guy, like this guy, the superstar, who trades just news. He'll be trading the NFP today.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, that's what he does. And then he's flat. He's basically out of the market all the time.
Oh, interesting.
Then you're going to have swing traders who just put in 3 trades a month, and that's what they do. Okay. And then you've got scalpers who are basically going in and out kind of 20 times a day. Okay. So this kind of all these completely different styles. So now, if you try to measure the risk of someone, which is what we're trying to do, so first we need to measure the risk of the guy so that we can scale to the level playing field. Okay, so if the guy trades a lot, then it's very easy to understand this is the way the guy trades. Okay, so I basically, he trades for 5 days, you know, puts 20 trades a day with this light, this size. I just know, okay, this is the risk he's taking. I need to scale him up or down to by a factor of two. There we go, it's there. Now you've got the swing trader, and he places this trade, and he's going to be in there for 2 months. So it's a lot easier to analyze the DNA of a fruit fly than it is for a Galapagos turtle that lives for 200 years. Yeah. So it's not like it pleases us to have the poor guy with the swing trading waiting for a long time. It's just that we don't know how he fares relative to the level playing field. The flip side of that, for those who are thinking of the long term, is that the guy, like the fruit fly guy, it's actually, I mean, making money is always hard, right? But it's a lot easier to make money trading something which only takes little capital because the big guys are not watching out for that. Mm. Okay, so yes, you might make 20%, you'd be quicker to kind of get to the allocations, but your capacity is going to be limited. There's many guys who just think, yeah, when I manage 100 million, it's like you will not manage 100 million the way you trade. Tops, you can manage 1 million, because we'll get onto that in a second. But like even the prize feed that we stream is the real retail market price, but it is distorted because there's lots of retail brokers trying to compete for losing flow. So people who basically trade that, and they artificially tighten the spreads so that they get the flow in the first place. Because, you know, there's some people who just overlever, they're going to lose anyway. So you give them a choice spread, they'll still end up losing. You want to get that flow. So once you get past a certain size, then you enter the real market, and that's when the spreads actually can just widen. I kind of talked a lot, but the point is, one of the reasons is we need to level the playing field. And for us to level the playing field, we need to understand how you play to begin with. And unfortunately, that means for people who are like swing traders, and for instance, my brother is a swing trader, it just hurts. It's like, you know, why am I being kind of handicapped vis-a-vis the others?
You're not doing it maliciously. You just need the correct data and the sample size to be able to vet that trader to ensure that, you know, they can go on and not blow up. So can the risk
engine... Well, hang on, that's important. So we're not vetting anybody. This is not like a... And actually, we call it like the training phase, and it's a complete misnomer. What we're doing is just we're trying to learn so that we can level the thing. We're not vetting. You don't need to do anything extra over that period. You don't need to prove yourself. All you need to do is just trade.
Do your thing.
Trade and wait. If you kind of want to grow as a pro, it's going to take 4 years. You know, the first month will be long forgotten. Once you're there. Mind you, I mean, it's designed to be quite quick. So it's rare for people to spend more than a month waiting.
Okay. Now, that makes sense. Like I say, it makes sense. It's just a question I get asked a lot. Does the risk engine determine if someone's strategy would blow up? Is that what it's capable of doing?
No. Okay. So what it does is, I guess this is kind of goes into the... Let's just take it to the extreme. Okay. So let's take a guy who's got like 100K virtual balance and he only trades 0.001 size. Could that guy blow up? No. Yeah. So if that guy's allowed to trade like, you know, 10 lots, then he could go.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's really a function of what position size you trade, for how long you hang into it. Because if you stay with 10 lots for a minute, it's a different thing to stay for like 10 lots for a year. So like, you know, what position size, for how long, and how many trades. Those are the three things that really drive what can happen in the future.
Okay.
So what we do is like, what could happen with this guy in the future if he continues trading with this frequency, this position size, and staying in the trades for this long? And we can basically say, and this is literally what we do, we can then say, okay, let's take a random strategy which traded this way and see what could happen to it. And you can build a statistical curve out of that. It's like, there's a certain probability that he blows up. And then, of course, the bigger the size, the longer the trades, and the more frequent the trades, the bigger that odd is. Okay. So off the back of that, we then say, okay, this probability is X. Therefore, what we need to do is scale back each position to a size such that the probability of this guy blowing up is the same as everybody else's. And that's what we're doing. So we're not intervening in terms of setting stop losses or take profits or what have you. We don't do any of that.
Yeah.
What we do is scale the trades as you go into them so that you are entering the level playing field. And it could be scaling up or scaling down, depending on whether the guy is kind of high risk or low risk. But we're basically level the playing field by putting everybody on a position size such that if he continues trading the way he has taught the risk engine, then he will have the same risk budget, which on the upside can make the money, but also on the downside can protect the investors against blowing up.
Makes sense.
Well, basically what we're doing is like if you trade 3-to-1 leverage and that makes you twice as risky as the benchmark, then we'll basically half you, so you trade 1.5 leverage. And then in the interface for DAO Next Zero, people will be able to see how their trades on the virtual account correlate to the composition of the index.
Okay.
But again, you don't need to do anything other than trade and know that it's going to be scaled.
Yeah, I think people always have questions, right? They try to know the ins and outs, but like you say, the reality of it is just do what you do, trade, and then you take care of the rest, right?
So I think the ins and outs is just get trading, do your own thing, and then wait for a month, and then look at what you've done and what the thing has done, and very, very quickly you get to realize, okay, you know, that this is what's going on. I could give you a PhD in econometrics to kind of do that, and it's actually what's gone into it. But in the bigger scheme of things, you just trade, and then eventually watch, and before long, you realize you just got to trade.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It's just like I say, it's a question that pops up, so it's good to let people know that are watching how it works, because I think people think it's like a put there to slow them down, and I'm like, it's not. They need to understand, you know, you as a trader, you as an individual, how you trade.
Yeah,
learn from that, and then you can obviously you get your allocations. So the allocations that you offer based on, you know, if you make say 5% and you have a certain drawdown, you'll get 25k, etc. Does that come from you guys yourselves in terms of you allocate that across to the traders? Is that something that's coming from you yourself?
No, so the way it works is we've got this investor management business and we collect fees from that. Kind of we take a 1.2% management fee and we take a 5% success fee from the guys who actually have investment. And that generates a revenue stream.
Yeah.
And that revenue stream, some of that we actually reinvest into our future guys. So how do we do that? Well, we want to coach or we want to groom the next cater in the same way as the real game. The real game is you have to stand out from the competition to get the capital in the first place, and you have to produce returns to get paid for the capital. Okay, so what we've done is create as realistic as possible a challenge where you have to stand out from the competition to land the allocation, and then you have to deliver returns for a certain amount of period to monetize the thing. And what we do is, like, we know, okay, given the way everybody trades and the success rates we've seen in the past, then we can engineer this virtual allocation to make them think like they're managing capital that they then get paid for as if they had been managing it. But we are not investing the capital because we publish all the indices, and you'll see if we actually invested the capital, we would lose our shirts.
Okay.
So, and that's the background to it. So we basically kind of we've created this game so that from day one, you're trading on their live price feed. Remember, you can always migrate your virtual account to a live account, and you're going to be on the same price feed. Okay. So, it's kind of financial engineering to say we pay cash out and we solve back for the virtual capital that we're giving. That's the way it works.
In terms of the successful traders that you have at DarwinX, is there anything that you notice that stands out about them? The ones that are getting allocations, the ones that are obviously attracting investor capital, is there anything they do from a trading perspective that makes them stand out? Just because I know there'll be a lot of people at home thinking, obviously, they've got to stand out, right? Mm-hmm. Is there a common pattern between the ones that stand out versus the ones that don't?
Okay. So first of all, you don't have to stand out.
Okay.
Okay. What you need to do is improve with every trade you place. Okay. That's the process. And then as a process, you'll get to learn yourself, you'll know your psychological bias, you'll learn things about the market, you'll get to grow into a trading style that suits your personal characteristics and abilities, okay? And then you keep doing that, and the capital will follow. But you're not competing against the others. All you're doing is certifying your progress, first of all, against yourself. And then if you keep doing that for long enough, successfully enough, then the natural consequence, the only possible outcome, is that you will stand out and get the capital. But you don't have to stand out. What you have to do, because that's outside your control. Mm. Okay, basically the reason we're doing this benchmarking thing is so you know where you are in the journey, so that, you know, you understand what is possible. I think the biggest value of this is to see that there's a guy who's making a million and he's not making more than 20%.
This is what I'm after.
So if it was possible to make 300% thing, the guy would have a zigabillion of a thing, and he doesn't. So it's just basically saying it is not possible. I mean, and the guy, I mean, literally, he just won the Hedge Fund Magazine prize for 5 years sustained performance. So no one in the world in Hedge Fund Magazine that people can invest into has posted higher returns than that guy.
That's mad.
So you cannot produce 10% a month. Okay, you can 1 month, you can 2 months, you can, and of course you can play the lottery and enter like 15 challenges and kind of toss the coin, see what, and one of them is going to work out.
Of course.
But the others will be lost. So it is not possible to make more than that. And that already in itself is like, okay, you don't have to stand out. All you have to do is deliver 1.5, 2% per month and ask a sustainable basis as possible. And if you do that, you can see the million there. By the way, it's a million now. It was 100,000 3 years ago. Hopefully it'll be 10 million 3 years from now. If everybody starts buying into this, you have to grow as a pro. And to grow as a pro, you don't need to stand out. What you do is kind of, you go to every training, you do your best, because you know that's what you do for swimming, that's what you do for football, that's what you do for tennis, and that's what you do for training, It's no different. I mean, what I hate the most is this mindset of, I was born with a genetic, the gene that makes me a super trader. Mm. That's bullshit.
No one was born a good trader.
That was bullshit. I mean, it's like, so what stands out from the traders, I think it's the process of cutting out the crap, not fooling yourself, not hiding behind your own mistakes, and trying to learn from every mistake and standing up again. That's what stands out. And then you could be an algorithmic trader, you could be a scalper, you could be this, you could be the other thing. But what stands out is, don't hide behind your, I mean, the only person you should not fool is yourself.
No, I love that. And I'm a massive fan of the whole, the psychology behind trading and the performance of trading. I say, you know, trading is like a performance-based sport. You need to be at your best at all times. You can't miss, like you say, the training sessions. You need to be able to understand yourself on a greater level. I was curious to know if there was anything that stood out from the ones that are succeeding, purely due to the fact that we're in a world now where, like you say, the results that are deemed normal are making a lot of traders feel inadequate, because maybe some traders are making 1-2% a month, but they think that's bad because social media is showing them that you should be making 8, 10, 15.
Yeah, I think you just got to kind of put your own thing, keep going, do your thing, and eventually things will follow. Because I mean, if you make 20% per year, it is actually reasonably simple to raise capital if you've got a tracker to prove for it. To give you an idea, like this guy, what he does is he's been analyzing monetary policy releases. For instance, like for the NFP today, he will have researched all that Powell and the kind of the Fed has said, and they've written into their analysis reports and the news releases. And then he'll look at kind of stuff like, you know, what they say. And of course, I don't know.
Of course.
But he's got this incredibly involved method. He's put work into it, and he's got a process which gives him an edge. And of course, he might win this trade or that trade, but he knows that if you've got a process, then it's not a question of luck, it's just a question of a numbers game. Eventually, it'll come your way.
Probabilities, right? Like you say, you've got to follow your process. And I love the fact that he trades news as well, because a lot of people are scared of news, right? And
he trades before the after the news.
After the news.
So he's got like scenarios that he says, okay, if they say this, then I think that's going to happen. If they say that, then he trades it according to his plan. But so he's got a plan before he goes into the whole
thing. He's heavily focused on like macro stuff as well, making sure he's aware of what's going on. And that's incredible. One question I wanted to ask is, why do you think now Darwin X is taking off more so than previous, right? You say you've been around for a long time. What do you think is the difference now versus then? Do you think it was just getting the things in place, like you say?
Yeah, it's a good question. So building what we've built as two brothers and my former bosses in the city, it's just been, we've invested upwards of 20 million into the company. And it's been a continuous struggle to basically pay for the development costs and get to the point that we never had a Salesforce. And we've never been able to advertise, because part of our revenues, like a core of our revenues, is like our retail broker that we own. And our retail broker has not been in the game of burn and churn, offering leverage and so on, like many others have been doing in the industry. I mean, many of these people haven't seen that because they've only started a couple of years ago. But retail CFD brokers have existed for years. And these people essentially are in the game of offering high leverage, getting people to lose money, collecting the money, and then sponsoring football teams and Formula One and so on. We've never been in that game. We've never had the budget to advertise on a mass marketing basis. And anyways, we're going for people who want to grow as pros. And we're sitting right next to our sales guy who started reaching out to you guys. Literally, the reason we're now getting to be known in the English-speaking zone, because we already are referenced in Spanish-speaking, that's where I hail from, is because we never reached out.
I think the growth's going to be huge, man. I do.
I don't think it's going to be huge. I think it's going to be sustained. I think it's going to be, I hope that people who watch, like people like you, who are kind of opening up their eyes to the fact that you cannot make more. I mean, that, you know, again, the best guy for 5 years has made 20%. It's just like, stop trying to pursue stuff which is artificial. Of course, if you're a superstar, you can make money there. So, you know, but just don't think that's kind of the way to go. It's try and build a track record. If you're in this for the long run, build a track record, improve with every trade, and the rest will follow. Whether with DarwinX or somebody else, I mean, there's plenty of hedge funds here in the city. Yeah. You go with a track record and said, for the last 5 years, I've been posting trades with these people. This is what I've made. I mean, the last problem you have is getting a job.
Yeah. Do you think you need more than sort of a year, 2 year track record to truly get large capital? Or do you think people can do it on sort of 12 months, 24 months?
So again, it's a learning curve here. So, and a growth curve for the company itself. So when we didn't have the credibility ourselves, then it took us like 10 years for someone to say, you know, who are these people? What I can see is there's more investor capital flowing in, and there's more discerning public that's looking at what we do. And actually, what one thing we've seen is that a lot of the traders, in addition to diversifying by having, like, you know, a prop account and a DarwinX account, they basically say, look, I can actually invest in the guy who makes a 20%. So many of the people who are actually competing with the guy is like, fuck, I can't beat the guy, but I can at least invest in him.
Mm. Yeah.
So kind of the trader, the credibility that we build together in each other by being on a level playing field is what drives the investor numbers. And everybody who's watching this podcast is going to be the financial expert in their family. So they see this guy that's kind of clocking in, you know, and there's are hopefully many guys, it's not just him, there's others, right? Do you see these people that clocking in, they've been putting in the kind of 20%, 15% performance for kind of 8 years. The bank's paying you, well, maybe it pays you now because the interest rates are high, but like the bank pays you nothing. The funds are basically screwing you. Just put some money into this thing. And that's how we've grown. We haven't really massively had to go advertising with the investors. They'd come because there's the credibility and the performance is there. So...
Do you trade yourself?
I don't, no.
Okay. I just wondered if you were a trader yourself or...
My brother does.
Your brother does. Does he still trade now?
I think he does, yes.
Yeah.
I think he does. I think the Darwin is ULI on the DarwinX platform, yeah. Of course, I mean, it's like a 24/7 job not to run the company, so it's not like he's got plenty of time for that. He actually trades traders.
Okay.
And he does that quite well now. So we've got one of our hopes is one day to basically build our own prop.
Okay.
Allocating capital from the traders we know. Because one thing's for sure is that we know the traders better than any outside investor.
Mm.
So, yeah, we've got efforts trying to build a portfolio of winning traders because that's something that we think there could be legs to that in the future. Because it's true that we make better use of what traders do than many other investors. Unfortunately, investors, there's many of them who buy the high, sell the low, and that's an issue too, yeah.
Of course. In terms of... the next steps for DarwinX, what's kind of the growth for DarwinX? Is it just to, like you say, get people understanding the message, you know, this is a place to grow as a pro and to truly, you know, have that other avenue? Like you say, they can trade their own money, they can trade prop firms, they can trade whatever, but also to have that allocation there from DarwinX.
Yeah. I think one thing you'll see with the community as more people join the challenge is that the level of engagement that you can reach between like-minded individuals. I think it's probably very lonely sitting at home and seeing that there's all these people talking at like in Twitter like headless chickens, and you feel like, am I the only guy? And then you realize you're not the only guy. There's others out there. For us to foster that sense of community and that kind of healthy competition between people is something that we really want to pursue. And in that sense, we want to collaborate with trading academies, with long-term minded influencers to get us there. Of course, that's going to generate resources that we can reinvest into the product. We're looking at adding other trading platforms, broadening the asset universe, of course, investing in advertising to get investors through the door, and generally improving all that we offer, including the diagnostic toolkit, which is something people come to appreciate once they've, I think, kind of... one of the key steps to grow as a pro is to start looking at your own trading, detaching yourself from your own trading and looking at it as if you were an investor. And we offer a lot of toolkit to do just that. So we'll continue doing more of what we're doing in that direction, only faster, because of course we're growing a lot now.
So you're actually able to help traders become better traders as well.
So our aspiration is not to enter the training space or anything. Our aspiration is to be the level playing field that feeds data to, the kind of coaches who want to help other people. So we kind of the level playing field that offers everybody the infrastructure for them to grow as pros. But we want to create an ecosystem of like-minded individuals, be that traders who buy into the long-term vision, be that influencers who want to grow with the platform, trading academies who want to, we've got trading academies that are sponsoring the cost of the virtual service. Because what they see is like, okay, if I get a guy to pay a course, he's paying for the course, then he goes on to do something else. I lose track of the guy, and it's bad for him and it's bad for me. Whereas if I sponsor this person for like 6 months, chances are he will learn to trade for the long run, eventually open a live account, and I can stay in touch with the guy for years. And that creates opportunities in terms of community, growth, retention, and so on. So it's basically creating this movement where the long-term minded participants in the marketplace, which is obviously 5% or maybe tops 10% of the market, can coalesce in an environment where we're all building a track record as traders, as fundraisers in our case, as trusted partners for the regulators who will hopefully like platforms like ours, trading academies and so on. And there's plenty that we've got in mind. It's just for that we need to pay. And one thing we haven't mentioned, this is key, I think, is we're not a venture capital funded company. The company was founded by my brother and me. We run the company. Unfortunately, we don't own all of it, but we control the company on a day-to-day basis. And we want to be doing this in 10 years' time. And I think that's kind of different from... We've been doing it for 10 years, which yeah. already is a kind of a proof that we mean it. And we, for us, what drives this is the passion of... For me to see this guy who started with nothing 8 years ago and who's now building his own hedge fund, I mean, to me, I mean, that's pride. And the guy's actually seriously worried that if we weren't around or if we got bought, then... his livelihood would be in danger. And to me, that's kind of that's what gets me out of bed on a Monday morning.
There's a fulfillment in it as well, because like you say, you are helping people to obtain other avenues of income that can help them change their life, which is very remarkable, and it's powerful. And I like the fact that, you know, like you've said there, it's longevity. You're not here for 10 minutes, gone. You've already been around for a very long period and you're only looking to scale that.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the important thing with us, you is not the company. I mean, we're basically like development team to a trader movement. That you is all these traders who want to grow as pros that have not been given the opportunity or the environment to grow in that way. And we wouldn't be here without the thousands of people who basically trusted us and paid us for doing this. So it's not you is you too, right? And it's everybody who's watching this and can hopefully buy into the mantra. So it really is a way about saying you don't need to put on a tie and work for a hedge fund to be a good trader, and that there should be an online solution where I can basically grow as a pro, and we want to be that solution.
No, I love that. I think it's something that the industry needs or has needed, and I love the fact that the eyeballs are now on it more so, mm-hmm. because it is giving people that choice to, like you say, they have a choice. They can grow as a pro or they can not grow as a pro, and if they don't want to do that, that's fine.
Yeah. So I mean, I think when people approach our next website, there'll be plenty that don't understand. I think there's two reasons for that. One is if you want to grow as a pro, you'll have to learn some stuff. The other one is we're kind of geeks, we're not, you know, we haven't stood the task of the masses coming in and asking lots of questions. So there's plenty that we can improve. By all means, you know, just give us a bit of a you know, vote of confidence, because it is worth it. There's plenty of people in it who can vouch for what we do. We will make it easier to understand. Hopefully, I think the message that I bring across today is a lot more understandable than it would have been 5 years ago. But we're still geeks, and there's plenty of that I'll see on the side of a kind of risk engine and the kind of scaling and this and that, that kind of scares the living hood out of some people. But actually, all you need to do is trade the 100,000 euros in a virtual capital or your own personal capital, like it's your dad's pension, and try and do that better every day. And the rest will follow, whether with us or somebody else. What you want is to have a track record that certifies how you've gone through the self-awareness, self-improvement process. And if you succeed at the other end of that tunnel, then, I mean, it's the most rewarding thing in the for a trader, I guess, because you're basically getting paid for what you love doing. And then on top of that, you can make a shitload of money. But I think that's kind of the icing on the cake. I think the important thing is, you know, you come in here, prove to yourself and to the world what you've got, improve, enjoy the process. And we think we're light years ahead of anybody else if that's the game you want to play.
No, I love that. On that note, I just want to say massive thank you for coming on. I appreciate you, Joanne. It's been incredible. It's been nice to catch up.
I mean, it's a real privilege. And then thank you for, I mean, giving us the vote of confidence, because I appreciate you've got an audience and sticking your neck out for a dude that comes out of Spain and speaks with a language with an accent. Is you know, it takes guts to do that. So thanks for that.
No worries at all. Link in the description for DarwinX. Also, if you use code ALB20, you can save yourself a little bit of money. Shout out to the guys for sorting that out. Like I say, get involved. It's a great opportunity. And the thing is, you can always say, oh, it's a long thing. I don't want to do it. But like they always say, the best time to plant a tree was 100 odd years ago. The best time now is start now. So it's the same with your record. Start today. Don't delay it. Don't put it off. Just get involved. It's not going to cost you a lot. It's pretty much like going out for a meal, which you probably do every weekend and waste money on silly things, right?
Well, it could even be free once you open a live account.
And once you open a live account, it could even be free. So well,
it actually is free.
Yeah. So it is free. So, yeah. You know, don't sleep on this. Don't let things like the 15% and things like that, you know, skew your vision. You've got to think long term with this. You've got to think of other avenues, other revenue streams, other income sources. And like you say, that all important track record, which is the most important thing, right? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. Catch you all in a bit. Peace and love, gang.